Good morning, Nachum. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Wow, what a special Erev Shabbos and Shabbos Chanukah this is. A little bit first about today, and then we'll talk, Mirtz Hashem, about Chanukah. So, first of all, tomorrow we have the privilege of reading Parshas Miketz. And in a few moments, I will try to tie in some of the ties between Miketz and Chanukah. But firstly, let's talk about today. It's preferable to daven early mincha today before you light Ner Chanukah. And the reason for that is because we emulate that which took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Our lighting of the menorah in our home reminds us of the lighting of the menorah in the Mikdash, and the menorah in the Mikdash was lit after the Korban Tamid in the afternoon. Our davening of Mincha every day corresponds to that Korban Tamid of Mincha. So ideally, we should daven Mincha first. If one could not, then by all means, you light Ner Chanukah home, then Ner Shabbos, then you go to Shul. Now, usually, in the Beis HaKnesses, we light Ner Chanukah in between Mincha and Maariv. However, Friday afternoon in Shul, we don't take a chance, lest Mincha will run a moment too late, and therefore, the minhag is to light in the Beis HaKnesses, the Ner Chanukah, before Mincha in the afternoon. What you need to know for tonight is the following very important halacha, and let's understand why. The halacha says that each night of Chanukah, the ideal time to light is with Tzeis HaKochavim, when the stars come out, which is approximately 30 minutes or a little bit more after sunset. Now, Mirtz Hashem tonight, candle lighting is approximately 4:20, and we should light Ner Chanukah first. Why are we lighting Ner Chanukah first? Really, it should be Tadir v'she'eino Tadir, that which is more frequent, and that which is less frequent, the more frequent comes first. So we should light Ner Shabbos, 52 weeks of the year, as opposed to Ner Chanukah, 1 week of the year. And the answer for that is that Ashkenazic women accept Shabbos with their lighting of candles. Therefore, they would not be able to light Ner Chanukah after Ner Shabbos. So clearly, in honor of Jewish women and their importance of Chanukah, we light Ner Chanukah first. So Ner Chanukah is lit before Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos is lit approximately 18 minutes before sunset. So we're talking that we're lighting 20 minutes before sunset, at least, maybe 25. Then we have to have the lights burn for another half hour, from Shkia, sunset, to the time of Tzeis HaKochavim, when the stars come out, which is when the Shulchan Aruch says is the ideal time to light, between 5 and 5:10 in the New York, New Jersey area. Then, once it is lit, now it will be lit from 4:15, Mirtz Hashem. But once it's lit, the mitzvah begins as soon as we light it. However, the fulfillment of the mitzvah takes place at sunset, and then, which is approximately 5:10, then it has to go another 30 minutes. Because whenever you light the Ner Chanukah, it is to burn for 30 minutes. So we're talking about a minimum of 80 minutes, 20 minutes till Shkia, a half an hour till Tzeis, and then a half an hour for the lighting of the Ner Chanukah, which is a Chetichla Regel Minashuk, a half an hour. Therefore, it is most imperative that we do not use the small colored candles for Ner Chanukah tonight. I'm not sure if you get a full half hour every night, but if you do, that's fine. If not, you must get for tonight, preferably oil, because oil certainly can be put in sufficient that it will burn for at least 80 minutes. That's number one. Number two, if one does not have oil and regular Neiros Shabbos will fit in your menorah, use Shabbos candles so that once again you will have the proper amount of time. If you don't have a menorah that has space for these candles or oil, use tea lights. While it is preferable to have a menorah, al pidin, even without a menorah, one can satisfy the mitzvah. So technically speaking, as we've pointed out, every night, from the letter of the law, all we need is one. However, Baruch Hashem, tonight we are going to light three. So you can line up three of these tea lights and put another one in the background as a shamash. However, if there's light in the room, wherever you are lighting, in the windowsill that can face the street, or in your home, if you have a location which is not open to the public, wherever you're having it, if you have another light in the room, an electric light, from the letter of the law, you don't need a shamash. Very important, if you are sleeping at home but eating out this night, Shabbos night, you light Ner Chanukah at home. I cannot stress how careful you must be where you are placing the menorah. More important, if you are going out, I would strongly recommend tea lights and put them in a place where you're comfortable that it's going to be especially safe. All right? This is exceedingly important that we take the proper caution that Mirtz Hashem, it should be a lichtig Ner Chanukah, safe, and reminding us of the nisim that occurred by Yamim Ohim Bazman Hazeh. Okay, now the a little bit about Miketz. Interestingly, Miketz is the parsha whereby Rabos Machshavos Belevish, as we pointed out, many of the thoughts of man, Atzas Hashem Hisokum, Yosef has to rise to power. So watch. The very first pasuk in Parshas Miketz reads, Vayhi Miketz Shnasayim Yomim. It was at the end of 2 years, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that Yosef should be in jail another 2 years for putting his trust in the butler. And therefore, now that his prison term is over, Uparo Cholem, Paro dreamt, and we know that the dreams were attempted to be interpreted by all his advisors, seven daughters, and etc., on a personal account, and he didn't accept any of their interpretations. The butler remembers, and Yosef is brought to Paro. Now, I'm just going to point out a few very important points. Number one, the Torah tells us that when Yosef is brought to Paro in chapter 41, the Torah tells us that Vayuitzu min Habor. They rushed, this is chapter 41, Pasuk 14. Take a look. The Torah teaches us they ran him from the prison. Now, why does the Torah have to use that expression of running Yosef out? Why couldn't it simply say Yosef was brought to Paro? We need to know that term Vayiritsuhu. And the Sepurno says, yes, you need to know it. Very important. Because just as the Geula, just as the redemption happened for Yosef personally, in a blink of an eye, immediately, when it was the time, it was rushed. So too, says the Sepurno, this is the portent, this is the future of all future Geulos of Klal Yisrael. The same thing happened in Mitzrayim. Vayogarshu, the Torah says, we were chased out of Egypt. Not enough that the door was open and we could leave Mitzrayim. No, they pushed us out. Our eating of the matzah to remind us that the baking of the bread was done in haste. All this showing that when the time comes, and Emir Tzashem, as the Nabi Malachi says, Pisom, suddenly the Melech Moshiach is going to come. There will be a future Geula, and these little props along the way help us to keep our emuna and to keep our bitachon. A second interesting sapurno that I want to share with you quickly is that when Yosef treats his brothers in a rather harsh manner, accusing them of being meraglim, being spies, so the brothers say, Avol Ashimim Anachnu, in chapter 42, Pasuk 21, which means that we are guilty. Now, what are they guilty of? The Torah is incredibly sensitive and tells us, not last week, that when they sold Yosef, but rather in this week's parsha, the Torah tells us that when they realized that they were in, quote, hot water in Mitzrayim, what do the brothers say? Avol Ashemim Anachnu, that we are guilty. What are we guilty of? Asher Ro'inu Tzoras Nafsho, regarding our brother, regarding Yosef, Bishanenu Eleinu V'lo Shamanu. That Yosef literally got on his hands and knees, was begging them, don't do this to me, don't. And V'lo Shamanu. So says the Sepurno, they still believed they were right in selling Yosef, but they could have, should have, shown Rachmanus. Whoa, amazing that they don't really regret having sold Yosef, because, as was pointed out, according to the Sepurno, they thought Yosef was that Rodev. Now, incredible that they don't pick up that it's Yosef, that finally, towards the end of the parsha, when the Torah tells us, number one, that they come to Yosef and there's a seating card. You think that's a modern invention. No, the Torah tells us that he seated them. How? Habachor Kibchor Roso, chapter 43, Pasuk 33. He seats them in accordance with their age. Batzoir Kitzi Roso, and Binyamin, the last one. Vayismahu Anoshim Isha Reyehu. And the Torah tells us that they looked at one another in astonishment. Like, how does Yosef know this? Again, they don't pick up and can't pick up, because had they picked up, they'd realize, oh my goodness, that we were wrong for, and everything we were wrong in terms of sizing up Yosef. So I'm going to tell you just one more thing of a strong remez from the parsha, and that is the when Yosef says to the head of his household, Utvoach Tevach Lohachin. This is chapter 43, Pasuk 16. Very important. The Shulte Giborim in the Gemara Shabbos points out that, again, the three words, Utvoach Tevach, which means literally have meat slaughtered, Lohachin, and prepare it, the Ches of the word Tevach, and the four letters of the Hochein spell Hanukkah, just to see how carefully Chazal read every word, counted every letter, and therefore what? They said that this is a raya, a substantiation, that Yosef HaTzadik kept Shabbos. The Hochein, as we find in Parshas Beshalach, in talking about the man, that on Yom HaShishi Vechinu Es Asher Yoviyu. There's to be Hachana. Yosef did Hachana for Shabbos. Not only did he shomer Shabbos, but prepared for Shabbos. And interestingly, the rule in the Beis HaMikdash is that on Shabbos we only have communal korbanos. The only exception to that is when we read during Hanukkah the Nesiim, the princes who brought a korban each day to inaugurate the Mishkan, the one who brought Bayom HaShvi'i, which was Shabbos, was Nasi Livnei Ephraim. Why? Because in honor for Yosef, who honored Shabbos, his descendant was given the schus of bringing a korban yochid, which is elevated to that of a korban tzibur on Shabbos. A few just ramazim, probably the most outstanding remez to Hanukkah in the parsha is the dreams themselves, whereby what do we find? The seven healthy cows are devoured by the seven skinny cows, and so too the ears of corn. And what does that mean? Rabim biyad ma'atim. It's a hint and a remez to the miracle of Chanukah, whereby the many were defeated by the few. I'd like to just point out an important fact regarding the two neros that we are lighting this Leil Shabbos. We light first Ner Chanukah and then Ner Shabbos. What is the basic difference between these two candles, lights that are being lit? And one answer is very clearly that when it comes to Ner Shabbos, one must get benefit from the Ner Shabbos. If you build a new home and you want to surprise your wife and give her a special room where she'll light Ner Shabbos, not in the area of the dining room, that would be wrong. Ner Shabbos should be lit in a location that it will be seen by those eating at the Shabbos table. It enhances the atmosphere and environment and brings with it, as we're taught in the Gemara Shabbos, the element of Shalom Bayis, so that if one had only enough money to buy either or, near Chanukah or near Shabbos, near Shabbos would come first because of Shalom Bayis. And Shalom Bayis doesn't only mean that it's much more convenient and enjoyable when you can see what you're eating and you can walk without banging into furniture, but there's a certain radiance which emerges from the Shabbos candles, which reflect the serenity of Shabbos. Ner Chanukah is just the opposite. We light lights, but we're not to get benefit from the lights. So why are we lighting the lights? It's almost a waste if you're not to get benefit thereof. And the answer is very important. What did the Greeks want to accomplish? The answer is they defined wisdom, knowledge, as that which man can understand. If Aristotle could understand it, that's called knowledge. If he can't, then it's gibberish. It's just not knowledge. Now, we believe, in addition to chukim, mitzvos, mishpatim, mitzvos, there are chukim. Chukim are laws without a reason. We do it for no other reason, but Hashem said so. We do it for no other reason because He is the center of the universe, and it's Him that we follow, whether we understand it or not. I have kosher meat and I have kosher milk, but I can't mix the kosher and the kosher. I have a new suit and I must check it to make sure that there is no wool and linen together. Does this make sense? No. People don't come to a dermatologist with cases of chutneys, but the answer is we do it for no other reason. So this is precisely what the Greeks could not understand. The concept of a law which human beings can't understand the reason for it. So they were against, as we say in the Al HaNisim prayer, that Lashkicham Torah Secha, what did they want to do? They wanted us to literally forget our Torah, ulahaviram mechukei ritzonecha, and they wanted to stray us from the statutes, from the chukim, especially the laws which they could not understand. Because we believe that there is sechel enushi, which means, yes, man is endowed with intelligence, but ultimately there's a higher sechel called sechel eloka, which is literally divine wisdom, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Asher bochar banu mikol ha'amim, He selected us and chose us from all the nations. V'nosan lanu es toraso, and He gave us meaning our ancestors at Sinai, and us meaning through the written Torah and the oral Torah, literally us, we who are alive and privileged to light Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos together. Chanukah first and then Shabbos, are proud to Baruch Hashem maintain the essence of what it means to be a Jew, as symbolized by the lighting of these two menorahs. Just a reminder, tonight and tomorrow, bench from a bencher. You should really do it every Shabbos. You have more kavana when you sing the benching, say the benching, say it each word, enjoy the benching, but include Al Hanisim in the second bracha of Nodeh Lecha. Once we are giving thanks to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank Him for the miracles of Chanukah. And finally, as you find in many of the benchers, if one forgot to say Al Hanisim in his proper place, you can include it at the end of the Harachamans. Harachaman Hu Yaselanu Nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do for us and give us miracles as He did for our forefathers in their days. And then we go on to say Bimei Matis Yohu, the Al Hanisim. Now watch. The point being that normally we're not to pray and daven for a miracle. But here we are. Harachamanu Yasalanu Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should perform for us miracles. And the answer is, an individual is not permitted to pray for miracle. But at Sibur, we're praying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring to Klal Yisrael, and that's while we will remember to say Al Hanisim in its proper place, but keep in mind when we say Al the Bracha Asher Osa Nisim Lavusenu Bayimim Ohim, in yesteryear, Bazman Azeh, not only in this season, but at this very time, how privileged we are, and how much we daven that there should be true shalom, peace in Eretz Yisrael. The hostages should, please God, be freed. The chayolim should all be returned safely to their homes. But the clear point is that we recognize that despite the challenges that we are living through, we see constant miracles before our eyes. Wow! Chanukah is not just a holiday from the past, but Baruch Hashem, we're living it as we speak today. Wishing Nachum and his family, the entire family of JM in the AM, the entire Klal Yisrael, wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos, a lichtige Chanukah. May Chanukah be appreciated, and we should realize, wow, Ashreinu, Matov Chelkenu, how fortunate and privileged we are to be Jews, to celebrate once again the precious holiday of Chanukah. Shabbat Shalom and a lichtige Chanukah to all.